And hallelujah. We're excited about 2022, and I hope that you are. It's kind of interesting to me because I love to study people, that it seems like every year at the start of the new year, everybody's so excited about what all they're going to accomplish, or what all they're going to do in 2022. And they have a term, it's called New Year's resolutions. I don't practice that. It's okay if you do. I guess I'd like to ask, how's that working out for you? All right, because it's usually about this time that, you know, that those, you know, people don't want to talk about them later or anymore or whatever. So it's always good goal to improve. And I think God plants his dream seed in us for a reason, because he wants to show us what he wants to do in our life. And so there's a big difference between coming up with a goal on your own. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that there's something better. There's a better way. There's a deeper level than just a New Year's resolution. And the world promotes self-improvement. And it's natural to want positive change, but we want better. We want to do better for ourselves, for others. And you know, in the Jesus community, we want to please Heavenly Father. Am I right? Well, the Bible shows us a way for positive, lasting change that's greater and more powerful than a New Year's resolution. Are you ready? Okay. The Bible calls it transformation. Wow. I love that. Makes me want to preach on it. I believe I will. This kind of change goes deeper than human strength. And so I want to have your focus on this, because this is something that the Holy Spirit can show you. And you catch this from the Holy Spirit today, and you experience transformation change. That's Bible change, supernatural change from the inside out. You know, self-improvement, self-effort change, they try to change from the outside in. And it's amazing sometimes how powerful the human will is, but I am announcing to you there's something bigger and stronger and greater than the human will, and it's the Spirit of the living God. And he wants to change us from the inside out. Somebody say amen. And so, as a matter of fact, if you're determined to do as the world does by trying to go through life with a self-effort type of change, then I have to announce to you that self-effort change, even if there is progress, it invites condemnation and defeat. It's a cycle. And self-effort, and this is what's dangerous to the Jesus community, the Jesus people, is that self-effort cancels the supernatural. Because the Bible puts it like this, it's flesh versus spirit. And when it comes to flesh versus spirit, flesh is always weak, always loses. But the Spirit, by His Spirit, we can do all that He wants us to do and be all that He wants us to be. Is that great? I hope that excites you deep down, because I believe the Holy Spirit will witness to this. I'm going to show you a number of scripture, because you know we love the Word. And we're going to see a lot of scripture. And even though that there is in church life and Christian communities that, because we are called to holy living, and so there is a promotion and an advertisement for change, and we should. One of the greatest testimonies that a believer can say is that I met Christ and he changed me. The next greatest testimony a believer can share is that I met Christ, he changed me, and he's changing me. Now, I want to tell you, that's beautiful, because it's a lifetime project. The problem is that in a lot of church circles, Christians are taught that the key change is they operate just like the world, and they talk the world talk, and focus on the world's focus, that is through self-effort. But I'm announcing to you that that's why that a lot of chairs or a lot of pews are empty. Because they're empty because there have been people that have failed in their greatest, best effort, self-effort to change, to live the Christian life, they failed and they simply say, it doesn't work for me. It works for others, but it don't work for me. And so let me announce to you that the Christian life is impossible without the Spirit of Jesus. It's impossible to live without the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You cannot live the Christian life on your self-effort, even with your best intentions. It does not work. As a matter of fact, you will be one of those that is frustrated, disturbed, discouraged, and even some of those that don't come and say it don't work for me, they're discouraged. Even some of those that do come, if you were to interview past the surface, past the mask, you know it's possible to wear a mask. How you doing? Fine. How you, Lord, doing? You treating the Lord? I praise the Lord. And there'd be tears on the inside. You know, it's possible to wear a mask. Am I right? Yeah. And so, but what I'm telling you is that behind the mask, there can be guilt and shame and a lack of confidence in God at all. And so self-effort teaching, and there's some of this out there, emphasizes change from the outside in. And that kind of our outward behavior in the belief that it'll work its way inside and change us inwardly does not work. It does not work that way. There are too many blockages. There is no lasting change when we depend on our own effort. Real lasting transformation, and this is an important statement. So you write this down, underline it in your notes, draw a little stick figure of yourself by there. Real lasting transformation happens from the inside out. How does this happen? I'm telling you right now, by beholding the glory of the Lord. Now, that can be one of those spiritual terms or Bible terms that you say. You sense the Spirit of the Lord saying yes and amen to this, and you got this yes and amen in you coming out that this is a witness. The Spirit of God says this is true. We need to behold the glory of the Lord, and that's how we're changed and transformed. But there'll be this big question mark in your mind, how do I go about that? Well, it's important with wisdom to have understanding. And so I hope to make this real clear, real simple, real straightforward for you today. And you might say, well, that's just too simple a statement, beholding the glory of the Lord. Give me some steps. Give me some rules and regulations. No, no, no. Don't go to self-effort. This is by the Spirit. You've tried self-effort, and how far did that get you? Well, let's try the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us, is this some of us? All of us, as with an unveiled face, no mask, that ought to speak, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, I'm going to stop right there because there's a lot more to this scripture. But, you know, pride would say, and you know, I know that while I'm speaking, see, this is part of the problem with preaching, is that I know that your mind is faster than I can preach. And so there's a tendency sometimes for the mind to run ahead or sometimes go out of bounds. Don't go to lunch yet, okay? Don't think about the to-do list this week. You know, that's why it's important for us to tell our mind. Sometimes it's like an unruly child, and we got to make it behave. We got to tell it where to go. Thank you. Loud amen on that. But here's the deal. Sometimes pride will say, you know, I don't really need to change. I know that brother up there does. I know that house next door. Come on, Barbara. You know, they need to change. You know, it's a tendency to think like that. Let me just announce to you what the Bible says about that. Pride. Let me say it again. Pride. And guess where I is? In the middle of it. Okay, and I want to tell you, that's, all sin points to self. That ought to be enough. Well, I could preach on that, but that's not where I'm going today. But even with the believer, this is a lifetime project, change is. And no matter how amazing you may think you are, I meet some like that every now and then. They want to tell me all their credentials, what all they've done for God, how God's used them, and you know what? They need God every day just like you do. Just like I do. Yeah. Because we all need to be more like Jesus in our practice. But it's not going to happen in our practice until we see it happen, that it has happened in our position. And the more we see it in our position with Christ, that this is what Christ has already done, that he wants to change us from the inside out. By the renewing of our mind to the Word of God, we are transformed. And what 2 Corinthians 3:18 is telling us, that when we behold the Lord, hey, as in a mirror, in other words, you're looking in this Bible and you're seeing a mirror. You're seeing the glory of God. And so this is why that we make this statement over and over again here at Freedom Life Fellowship, that when you open the Bible, see Jesus in the Word. See Jesus. I know there's a lot of historical facts there. Nothing wrong with those. I know there's interesting scripture, and there's all kind of things that we can point to. But listen to me. See Jesus in the Word. When you see Jesus in the Word, something happens. Are you ready for some more scripture? Let's look at this. When you behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, you're constantly being transfigured. Is that what the Bible says? In other words, when you see Jesus in the Word of God, you're constantly being transfigured. You're being changed into his very own image. Somebody say, more like Jesus. In ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. Do you see that? It's ever-increasing. Somebody say ever-increasing. I'm saying the more you see Jesus in the Word, ever-increasing, you become in Jesus. Because you see him as he is. Now here's the key. When you see him as he is, you see him in his glory. You see the reflection of this is that that's who you are. You are as he is. Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. You say, well, I'm not like Jesus. I'm telling you, you are. When you received Christ, Jesus, the very same Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit himself, came to dwell on the inside of you in your spirit. And it's not a baby Jesus inside your spirit. It's a full-grown Jesus. You are full of the Holy Ghost, wall-to-wall Jesus inside of you. That's in your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You understand that. It took me 21 sermons to explain that, so I hope I don't have time to go back over that today. When we behold the glory of the Lord, we're transformed. And it's not just a one-time thing. This is what gets me about people who say, oh, yeah, I've received Christ. I'm done. Got my ticket. No, you're not done. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have a ticket, because when you receive Christ, hey, listen, he never, ever lets go of you. And there was nothing you to do, nothing that you did to get eternal life. There's nothing you can do to undo eternal life. That's Jesus. That's just Jesus. That's not you. But I'm here to tell you that part of the purpose why you're still on earth is that he wants to transform you from glory to glory, where that you become more and more like him. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? By seeing Jesus in the Word. When we behold the glory of the Lord, we're transformed. It's from glory to glory to glory to glory. Don't you love that? And the reference to the unveiled face points back in Scripture all the way back to Moses. He glimpsed the glory of God on the mountain. Do you remember this? Okay, I probably need to preach on that too. But I'm just going to tell you, he saw the glory of God. up on the mountain. And his face, according to Scripture, was shining so brightly. It was reflecting. Get this. Boy, this is beautiful. It was reflecting the glory of God with such a majestic way that when he came down, it scared the people. It scared the people. So he covered his face with a veil. Now, I'm going to share this with you. You say, well, that's so sweet of Moses. Yeah, but let me tell you something. There's a tendency for, as with Moses, to leave the mask on longer than the glory reflects. And that's what happened. The word makes it clear that he put on a veil to hide the fact that the glory on his face was rapidly fading after coming down from the mountain. Now, I want to announce something to you. When you have been focusing on Jesus, when you've been beholding his glory, there's an effect on your countenance. I want to tell you, that glory is reflected. And I'm not saying that we're to be glory inspectors, where you go around and look how much glory is being reflected. No, no, no. It's just something that the Lord does. And I want to tell you, when you've had your heart troubled and you meet with peace, because his name is peace, and you meet with peace himself, and you let Jesus release you from a troubled heart and heal you and deliver you from a troubled heart, and you go from a troubled heart to peace, his peace, not the world's peace, but his peace. I want to tell you, when people look at you, they're going to say this: what happened? What happened to you? Something's happened because you've met with Jesus. And when you've been beholding the glory of God, people see it, people sense it. I was preaching a revival down in the southernmost part of Louisiana. As a matter of fact, one of the little towns there is called End of the World, surrounded by water. And it can be kind of dark sometimes in places you go preach. It was so dark, and I love the people there. I had some great meetings there. Went back and preached a number of years. But I want to tell you, it was so dark that I was in a restaurant. Some of the saints had taken me to a restaurant, and I'm in a restaurant, and a man walks in the restaurant I'd never seen before in my life, and I pointed him out, and I said, "Hey, there's a believer." And they, yeah, do you know him? I said, "Never seen him before, but that's a believer." And they said, "How did you know?" "Yeah, he is a believer. We know him. He really loves the Lord." Because there was a countenance. There was a reflection of Jesus on his countenance. Does that happen everywhere I go? No, but it did then. And I want to tell you, it was a witness to those around. But I'm telling you that when you meet with Jesus, what's private becomes public. Boy, there's a lot I could say right there. And so as new covenant believers, here we are. As new covenant believers, you and I can behold the glory of the Lord continually. I tell you, that's exciting. That's exciting. Okay. So our glory, as what the Bible says, our glory can always be increasing. Do you see that? Now, wait a minute. I'm talking Bible here. You say, well, that's not been my practice. That's not been my testimony. Well, it can be. You know, we're not operating this morning by your experience. We're operating by what the Word of God says. And I want to tell you, this is the Word of God for you in 2022. We can increasingly, from glory to glory, behold Him and be affected by Him, be changed and transformed by Him. We don't need a veil, because we continue to behold the glory of the Lord. The glory we reflect like a mirror is to grow and grow and grow. That's Bible. That's the Spirit of God. That's His work in us. Holiness is a fruit of the root of seeing Jesus. Now, boy, I want to tell you, there's people listening, and pastors listen to this, these messages, and so you have a ministry to pastors. because of this. But I'm here to tell you, there's pastors that listen to that statement. They'll say, whoa, because that goes against a lot of theology. But it's so important, I'm going to say it again. Holiness is a fruit of the root of seeing Jesus. Holiness is not accomplished by a list of rules and regulations of things to do and not do. Holiness is an automatic byproduct of the Spirit of Jesus and the Word of Jesus in your life. Wow, okay. I'm telling you, that'll have some waves on out there. But what it is that we're transformed from the inside out. Beholding the glory of God produces transformation. And that's something that all of us can do. Is that great? So, let's talk about how to behold the Lord's glory. There's a number of ways that He's caused, that He has for us to know Him. And I want to tell you, we need to practice them all. Number one is this: open your Bible. You know, as a church, we minister to pastors, so we minister to churches. And I had to share with a pastor in the past, "Pastor, you really need to get in the Bible." You wouldn't think I'd have to do that. Let me tell you something. It's the responsibility of every pastor to love the Word of God. And all the pastors here said, all right, let me say this. It's a responsibility of every believer to be in the Word of God. Am I right? Okay, so this pastor, and I was trying to help him with some things, but it came out that, you know, the only time he looked at the Bible was to try to get something to say for somebody else. Or to study a problem question. And so I had to tell him, you need to be in the Word of God. And he responded like I'd given him a hard homework assignment. Okay, wrong approach. Okay, there's no substitute for meeting God in His Word and seeing Jesus in the Word. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus personally to you through His Word. He makes His Word alive to you. You've heard me say it, and that's okay. I'm going to say it again. You can say it with me if you need to. You cannot just read the Bible like a history book or a newspaper. You got to recognize the Lord's presence. And one of the things I encourage saints, pastors to pray is that, Lord, open my heart, open my eyes. I want to see You in the Word. And I want to tell you, that's His will. You understand that's His Word, but that's His will for you. And when you pray His will lining up with His Word, guess what? You get it. And so I'm telling you, He's very serious about this. And when you get serious about it, you're going to start getting revelation of Jesus that you've never seen in your life. That will affect your life. He makes His Word alive to you. Now, some of the brothers that go fishing with me know that I am thrilled every time I catch a fish. It's joy to me. And you know what? It don't matter what size it is. I've had some people catch something small and apologize for it. I'm thrilled. Now I want to tell you something. In the same way, every time I'm in the Word, and there's scripture that's highlighted to me. You know, it's almost like there's a highlighter that jumps out of the page. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if you haven't practiced this, this is mystery to you. But I'm telling you, you can be in the Word and seeing Jesus, hungry for Jesus and His Word. And the Holy Spirit highlights a scripture out and gives you a picture inside of your heart of how this applies to you right now in your life. And you get to see Jesus. I want to tell you, I have never, ever gotten over it. I'm still thrilled every time it happens because it's supernatural. Okay? It's not just a history book. Okay? It's Jesus in the book. Recognize the Lord's presence and ask Him to open your eyes to the glory. You want to, Lord, I want to see Your glory. I want to see Your truth. I want to see Your power in it. And you remember when the disciples, Mr. and Miss Disciple, were on the Emmaus Road there in Luke 24. And Jesus comes along behind them and beside them, and they don't recognize. He's hidden his the recognition from them that it's Jesus. And he begins to question them and quiz them. And then the Bible's real clear. He began to go through the scriptures from the first all the way through the Old Testament. And he began to talk to them and show them pictures of himself in the Bible. Boy, that's, I'm telling you, this is for us. He's showing us something. This is should be our approach, is to see Jesus in the Bible. And he gets through the Bible, and at the end, you know, they arrive to where they're going, and he actually reveals himself to them. I believe actually through communion, he shows them communion and breaking of the bread, and they recognize that this is Jesus, and then he disappears. But what I love is the statement that they made. Listen to this. Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, "Were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us?" You see, these are not people that do like a lot of the modern day church that just read the Bible for the mileage and not the message. Let him be the message. If you seek the word to see him, there'll be more message than you can write down. But if you're reading it just for the mileage, I'm announcing to you, you can miss them completely. Listen to what they said. "Were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us when he was talking with us on the road? And he opened and explained to us the sense of the scriptures." It's so important for us to see Jesus in the word and to feed on the word. But there's another way. You want to see another way? Another way is hearing the preaching of the word. Yeah. And it's especially true of preaching that exalts Jesus and his finished work. If you're listening to sermons about how to better yourself through yourself, that's not going to work. But when you're listening to messages that highlight Jesus and esteem Jesus and magnify Jesus and his works on the cross, I want to tell you, there's a look at this, John 17. 19 and 20. Look at 19. "So for their sake," this is Jesus talking to the Father, "so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify," listen to this. See, we could take this, and I don't have time, but I could go ahead and carry it out, that a sanctified one is a transformed one. "I sanctify, I dedicate and consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified," dedicated, consecrated, made holy, there you are, in the truth. And so I want to tell you, let's do this, verse 20, and I'll tell you. "Neither for these alone do I pray." It's not just for their sake only that I make this request. But listen, he's fixing to pray for you. In 2022, all those that are listening, he's fixing to pray for you. But also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me. How do we receive and behold his glory? Through the teaching and preaching of the word of the disciples. And so I'm announcing to you that we are actually sanctified in the truth. All right? When the disciples preach and teach Jesus and the truth, we're sanctified. And he prayed for us to be sanctified by the preaching and teaching of the disciples of the truth. Is that great? I hope you see that. Man, that's very, very exciting. Makes you want to hear a sermon. Makes you want to stay awake during a sermon. Come on. The preaching that proclaims his grace, his majesty, and his victory. Remember, and we share this quite often, but what he says is his words. Remember his words. What he does is his works. Remember his works. Because they show you, the Holy Spirit will use, as you meditate on his words and his works and you see Jesus, the Holy Spirit will show you who he is. That's revelation. Psalm 16:11, another way that the Lord wants us to behold his glory is by practicing his presence. And we did this with our leadership team this morning. We just took a few moments. I shared with them a little bit about how Jesus desires and loves to love on us. And then we took a few moments and just took time to be still and let the Lord love on us. And as the Lord loved on us, guess what? He gave us revelation. We got to see him. And he just loves for us to enjoy his presence. Look at Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. Hey, you know what we saw this morning? And one of the expressions of his love is that one of the precious leadership team was sharing that when they let the Lord love on them, he gives direction. That sounds just like him. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Another saint shared that they have confidence in him when they let the Lord love on him. Y'all, you get presence of joy. You get fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. There's a lot of benefits to the Lord's presence. Now, let me tell you a secret. You don't have to go through a bunch of spiritual aerobics to enjoy the Lord's presence. He's with you right now. He's with you wherever you go. He's with you whatever you do. Even if you're doing something wrong, he's there. He wants to enjoy you more than you want to enjoy him, and he's available. Okay. Practice his presence. Let's look at this. John 17:21, and we'll do through 23. That they may all be one. This is Jesus praying. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now, boy, this is spiritual terminology here that you got to catch. Because what happens when you accept Christ is that Christ then says, and now I'm in you and you're in me. You see, that's position. That's oneness. That's unity. That's position. That they may also be one in us. Do you get this? He's saying, Father, just like you and I are one and you're in me and I'm in you, hey, this is what we want for them, that they'll be one in us. And when this happens, the world believes, and the world is convinced that you sent me. And so one of the ways that we convince the world that Jesus is real and that he's available for them is for them to see the glory of God in us. As we're beholding him, that I'm in him and he's in me, they see that he's real. Okay. Well, that's not in any book of evangelism, but that's Bible. Okay. Thank you for agreeing with me. Look at verse 22. I have given to them the glory. He shares his glory with us. And honor which you've given me, that they may be one even as we are one. See, this is God's heartbeat right here. I'm telling you, you're listening. You're looking at the heartbeat of God. Listen to his heartbeat. Verse 23, and I in them and you in me, and in order that they may become one and perfectly united. So see, part of the transformation that takes place is not only with us and the Lord, us with the Lord Jesus and Father, Holy Spirit working on us, but also with one another. If it just goes one direction, it's not effective. It's not just horizontal living, it's vertical living. Hey, whatever's real between you and Jesus needs to be real between you and the brothers and sisters. And I'm speaking some things on this. That the world may know and recognize that you've sent me and that you've loved them even as you have loved me. Now, I want to tell you, there's something here. The very same love that the Father loved Jesus with, he's loved you with. And so you don't dare ever, ever have an excuse or a witness to say that the Lord doesn't love you. He's loved you with the same love the Father has loved him with. Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay, so that ought to make you run to his presence. Let's say what he's saying. Let's declare his works to others. Let's make them known. That's God's heartbeat for us. Because of the cross, he wants to reveal himself to you in deeper and deeper levels. That's available. Because of the cross, we can behold the glory of the magnificent Savior with an unveiled face. That's what the Lord wants. Nothing stands between you and Him. Man, I have to say that a couple times, but I kind of got to get on to some other things. But nothing is resisting between you and Him except for the enemy and what you agree with him about. And I want to tell you, everything that comes out of the enemy that would cause you to resist running to Jesus is a lie. Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that believe. Every condemning thought, every shaming thought is a lie. He paid the price for you. It's your birthright to behold him. We need to have conversation with him. You know, there's no relationship without conversation. No relationship. It's the same on the human level. Same principle on the vertical level. There's no relationship without communication. There needs to be heart to heart. That's really what Jesus wants with you. How long has it been since you've heard the Lord whisper to your heart and love on your heart? How long has it been since you've taken time just to love on Him and let Him love on you? Get to know Him. That's what He wants to do. John 17:3. I think I need to run on to that. Let's look at John 17:3, because it is your birthright to behold Him. And this is eternal life, to know Him. Now look how the Amplified, I love the way it brings out the original text, original language to this. Because we can say that word know and just take off running. But I want you to take time to look at how the original language is brought out. This is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, become acquainted with Him, and understand. Do you see that? Doesn't that say something to you that it's more than just saying a prayer and amen and going on your own way? This is talking about relationship. The only true and real God. And likewise to know Him, Jesus, as the Christ. You see, it's knowing one, knowing you know the other. Wow. It's your birthright to behold Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you on deeper levels. And we can, because of the cross. All barriers have been torn down. The veil's been ripped. It's okay. He's invited you to come. Nothing stands between you and Him. Your sin's been taken away, along with your shame, all guilt, all sense of condemnation and unworthiness. Look at Galatians 3:13. Y'all are making me preach a little faster, so stay with me. Christ purchased our freedom. Freedom from the curse of the law and its condemnation, by Himself becoming a curse for us, as it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so every curse that would hinder you from enjoying open, continual fellowship with Jesus, He took upon Himself. And He purchased our freedom for fellowship. Wow. Jesus paid for your position of righteousness. And because of His blood, guess what? I can say to everyone here, no matter what our report cards look like, I can say because of Jesus, you belong. I can say because of Jesus, you qualify. You can run to His presence all because of Jesus' finished work. Romans 5:17, you know I love that. I like to work this in Romans 5:17, and it goes like this. I'm looking for it. I like that one too. Okay. I can quote it, but I want it to be right. And actually, this is a different version than what I have it memorized. And so listen at this, Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of one, somebody say Adam, death reigned through that one, somebody say Adam, much more surely. Well, I'm telling you, that's where we live. Because of Jesus, we live in much more surely. Will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign, not be ruled over, Man, 2022. This is Bible for 2022 for you. Not to be ruled over, but to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, he paid the price. The king paid the price for you to rule as king in this life. Wow, that's beautiful. And so, let me wrap up with some very, very important statements. And if you haven't caught anything else, catch this. And if you don't catch it, go back and listen to it over and over again until you do. But let's live this life by transformation and not self-effort. Give God a chance to be God in your life this year. Don't do the same way as last year. Let's depend on him. John 17:13, I know we have that one, I just saw it, yeah. And now I'm coming to you. I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that my joy, whose joy? Be sure you get this. So that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them. Does that mean just a little dose of it? Does that mean just a little touch? You know, sometimes people ask me to pray for them and say, you know, Pastor, I just need a little touch. No. I want to tell you, he paid more than just a touch. He paid for us to be made full and complete and perfect in his joy. So that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them. Now, let me tell you something. You haven't seen to the expanse of God's delight in you. When you see how much he loves you and how he delights in you, this is such transformation to you that you're not having to do some aerobics or some little rules in order to make them smile. You're not having to suffer in some kind of religious way in order to make them smile. But I'm telling you, he delights in you, and he wants his delight to be fulfilled to the full in you. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls. Does this make it clear? I want to tell you something. His joy, his peace, his delight, his enjoyment, he wants perfected, made mature, made complete in our own souls. That's his goal. That's his desire. That they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts. I want to tell you, this is the picture of a 2022 believer. Beholding his glory. Letting the Holy Spirit transform our sadness into his gladness. Our boredom life into his joyment. Hey, those things that continually to drain us down, that we might be fulfilled in his delight for us. I want to tell you, it puts a little spin on the scripture that we love, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I want to tell you, when you see how joyful he is towards you, it gives you strength. It gives you confidence. Now, when I was a boy, I had to watch my dad's face to see whether I could approach him. If he was mad, you stayed away. You could only approach when he was glad. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes we treat God Father like that. And I'm here to tell you, because of Jesus, his face is always glad towards you. He delights in you. You can run to him. Do you see this? Okay, I got a couple more things. You stay with me a few more seconds? Okay, here's some things I want to confirm to you. That he wants his joy, fulfillment, and delight to be in us, perfect, complete in our souls. And so, let me ask you, so why are we codependent on things or purposes of the world in order to be happy? Why are we tied to things in the world in order to try to be satisfied? Why are we depending on little things like the weather? And whether people smile at us or whether people greeted us with enthusiasm to make our soul well. One of the things that's given me a lot to preach about is the pandemic. Because it's shocked me, surprised me, how that believers in this part of the world will be upset because the focus of their life has come to a place where Jesus is not enough to fulfill their life. They need that hamburger. They need that pizza. No. I'm telling you, testimonies of real believers that I've talked to, well, if I could just have a hamburger, you know, it's been a while since I've had a hamburger place, and my favorite one been closed down. You know, I ain't had pizza in a while because my favorite pizza place is, huh? You know, I haven't been able to go to the movie like I really want to. I haven't been able to go play like I normally play. Well, it's revealed that Jesus is not their everything. They're not content. When people say to me, well, I just want things to get back to normal like it used to be. What I want to say, I'm so sensitive that most of the time I don't. But what I want to say, and sometimes I do, is that we want to get back to our self-centered, entertainment-focused living. We want to be free just to go have a good time anytime we want to. Hey, why don't we let Jesus be the center of our life? Let Jesus be the center. Maybe our lack of focus and centering on Jesus is problematic. Is Jesus more than enough? Who or what are we leaning on? Because that determines a lot. By our discontentment and our sorrow because we don't have the normal stimulation in our life, we're saying Jesus is not enough. If we can't have peace because of something that's limited, then who is the real focus of our life? Is this being a little strong for you? Well, hold on, it's fixing to get better. Are you saying that Jesus is not enough because of the discontentment or sadness or emotional roller coaster that we're living? When He's our foundation, listen to me. When He's our foundation and when we're beholding His glory, we are fulfilled in Him. When we're fulfilled and satisfied in Him, it doesn't matter if our favorite hamburger is available. Content in whatever state we're in when we are fulfilled in Him. When His gladness is in us. When His joy is in us. When His peace is ruling and reigning in our life. Emotions are not. Our joy is to be transformed by the glory of the Lord. This is His will. This is His desire. This is His plan. And what I've shared with you, the three precious ways by His presence, practicing His presence, by being in His Word, by listening to Christ-centered messages and teaching. I want to tell you, that's something all of us can do because the Holy Spirit has come and He's your helper and He will help you be transformed. It's a work of the Lord. It's not your works. And so let's pray and let's seek the Lord. And let's let 2022 be all that the Lord wants it to be. Because let's let Him transform us inside out. Lord Jesus, we bless Your holy name. We praise and give You glory, Lord. Thank you that because of Jesus, we have our eyes open, our ears open. And we pray in the name of Jesus right now to every believer listening that, Lord, whatever blockage there's been in the past from condemnation or failure or the lies of the enemy, we break and renounce those blockages in Jesus' name. And we declare that the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ is right now righteousness. And everyone hearing our voice. And we declare in Jesus' name that you are free to see Jesus. You're free to see Jesus in the Word. You're free to be transformed by the glory in His Word. You're free to be transformed by seeing Him in the preaching, the foolishness of preaching and teaching. When the truth is revealed, that you'll recognize Jesus. We declare in Jesus' name that you're free to experience His transforming presence. That even in the presence of God, He sets us free by giving us His gladness and His joy and His peace. Lord, thank you that Christianity is about leaning on you and not on ourselves or on others. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you that we can pray your prayer, that we are in you and you're in us. Lord, that we are transformed by who you are. And let, Lord, the world will know and understand that you're real because of your transformation in us. And all the people said, let's give the Lord a praise clap. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for hanging with me this morning. Well, I have so needed to say that. I've so needed to want to share that.